Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we give honor and thanks for being here on the broadcast today. Thank God for just all that He has done. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Truly, we give honor and praise to God today. He is awesome. He is a wonderful God. He's sovereign. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is a mighty God. He is awesome. And we thank God for just knowing who He is. We thank God for His everlasting love and His mercy and His kindness and His grace toward us, and we're so thankful for that today. We're going to start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You today. I praise You for Your mercy and for Your grace. I thank You for being our present help in the time of trouble. Thank You for being our shepherd that we shall not want. And, Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that even if we delight ourselves also in Thee, that You will give us the desires of our heart. God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your healing power and Your very present in the times when we need You the most. We thank You. So, Lord, we ask You to bless this word today. Let this word fall on good ground, Lord. Bless those that need it to hear it, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask You to bless everyone that will be under the sound of my voice, those that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, and those that will even listen to the broadcast later, and those that will join me here on Facebook Live and listen later. We thank You for each and every one of them. We plead the blood of Jesus over the lives of Your people, God. We ask You, Lord, to bless those that are newly saved and those that need to be saved, God. Bless them to hear Your word, oh God, and that they will hear Your word, and Lord Jesus, and be like the person say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? So, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for souls today. We thank You, Lord, that all for, and we ask You to bless all the pastors and all the leaders that preached the gospel this morning, that poured out what You poured into them, and they poured it out to the people, God. We ask You, Lord Jesus, just to restore unto them, oh God. We ask You to bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, all over this land and country, all over this world. We ask You to bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Continue to give them, to anoint them and appoint them for Your word and for the work of the ministry, God. We ask You, Lord, to bless each and every person, oh God, because we're all called, we're all gifted to do something in the kingdom of God. Bless us to find those purposes and those places, oh God, that we will begin to move and do what You have called us to do and what You have asked us to do. Lord, I thank You today for being called and chosen. I thank You today, Lord, for the gifts of God that You have given me. Bless everyone, Lord, in the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for all that God is doing. He is an awesome God. Now, you know, I always got thought I was talking about my church. I mean, He preached the gospel this morning. I know your pastors. I ain't being partial because I know your pastors preached the gospel this morning as well, and you got a good word from the Lord. And you ought to always be telling somebody about that word you got, because it might be a blessing to somebody. So that's why I share what God got. And so it was a blessing. And, you know, I always invite you out there to thepodcast.org. I ain't go out there and listen to the rebroadcast. But I'm telling you, the Lord was speaking this morning. It blessed my very soul. And I'm telling you, you know, I don't even want to do it no justice. I just want you to go. It was good, good, good. And I'm quite sure your pastor's word was good, good, good this morning. And so we're just so thankful for the men and women of God that are leaders in our churches, oh God. We just ask our Lord to always be covering them and blessing them. And I'm telling you, it blessed my soul this morning, because sometimes you just want to know why you're going through so much stuff and so much stuff is happening. And when you get a word like that from the Lord, like we got this morning, I'm telling you, it blesses you and it helps you to go through. You might be being crushed, and you might be being tried in the fire, but I'm telling you, when you come forth, you're going to come forth with pure gold. Because the one thing about it is when gold is tried in the fire, it keeps going into a hotter heat, and impurities come up to the top. Then they put it in a hotter heat, and impurities come up to the top. And sometimes you feel like that when you're going through the trials and tribulations of life, but Jesus encouraged us when he said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. So we're just so thankful to know that, you know, when God has called you, when he has chosen you to do his will, that you might have to go through sometimes. I was telling the young people, you know, I was over there at the Ninth Grade Center. I was over there this week, and I told them young people, you know, I was just talking, because, you know, sometimes you got to listen to them and what they're saying, and they feel like our generation does not understand them. And so what was so interesting about that, we had a whole conversation about that. And so you try to encourage them about school and all those things, about going to college and all those kind of things. And even though college is not for everybody, but, you know, you try to encourage them, you know, to understand that, for them to understand that they got to go, you know, they got to go after, and they got to go, you know, they got to be doing something. They just can't be thinking that, you know, everybody's going to be an entertainer, everybody's going to be an athlete or whatever. But some of them are gifted in those areas, and so that might be their path in life. But, you know, they have to know that. But I told them, you still got to know how to read and write. You still got to know how to conduct business. You still got to know all these things. So even though they say school, they told me, well, the school ought to pay us to go. I said, well, you know, technically they do, because, you know, a lot of money goes into things, and so, you know, they don't pay you to go to school, but they're providing a lot of things because of the bonds that, you know, the schools get and the money that the schools receive to be open. And so there's a lot of things there. But one thing they were talking about, and our children need the Lord. They really do. And so we got to keep, you know, trying to reach that generation. And sometimes we can't, you know, the old way may not work for them, but, you know, you got to learn, ask God how to do it. You got to ask God how to be strategic in reaching them. And we got to understand, like I was talking about, people on your job sometimes. You got people that are acting out and mean and hateful sometimes on your job, and the bosses are doing it. Sometimes the kids are fasty and, you know, they're doing too much. But the one thing, God bless you, Elder Russell, one thing I do understand, God bless everybody that's joined me on Facebook Live. The one thing that I do understand is that people are going through things in their households and in their lives, and it's causing them to act certain ways and causing them to be in these battles and these places. And so we got to consider that when we're dealing with people, because sometimes we want to retaliate because it looks like they're targeting us and so we sometimes want to retaliate, or we want to, you know, be upset about it. But sometimes we're going to have to take a different path and begin to pray that the Lord will begin to deal with what is fueling the behavior, because it is something. And I remember I was talking about that saying that, you know, sometimes we see people act out and the children act out, that something is fueling that behavior. And so when I think about that, I was talking about it, and if you could have seen the change in the expressions on their face, and they were very attentive to what I was saying, and so I knew I had touched on something that was something that they were dealing with. So we got to learn how to reach them, and really not, you know, be so worried about the disrespect, because some of it, it is disrespectful. Like I tell myself, I don't do disrespect. Now, you know, I get tickled about certain things, but I'm not going to be, you can't disrespect me, because that gets on my nerves, and I think that's because we grew up couldn't be disrespectful, so we don't want anybody to disrespect us. But however, we have to pray for our young people. They really need prayer, and so it's up to us to reach those generations. You know, Moses told us to reiterate, you know, and, you know, to tell the generations behind us about God and God and all the things that he had done and how he brought them out. And so that was their charge, and it's still our charge today. It is our position, or it is our job, to tell these young people about the Lord. And so we just got to learn how to reach them where they are and stuff like that, and we need to ask God to do that, because he's in control of that as well. And so I don't know what made me get on that tangent today, but anyway, you know, last week we were talking about, we're still talking about prayer, and prayer is battle partners, and the things we can use when we're in prayer, and the things we can use to against the enemy when he tries to come up against us or distract us, because he's got plenty of distractions. And so we have to be ready, you know, today. And that's kind of where the sermon ended up today, too, about, you know, we got to react different when the enemy's distractions and his attacks come. We can't always throw a fit. We can't always you know, go into these depressive places and things like that. But what we have to do is begin to worship and praise God. And that's the one thing I think of when I think about that, when I think about David. Whatever it was David was going through, he was quick to worship, he was quick to repent, and he knew how to get to God's heart. He had a heart for God. So we have to have that heart for God. And so when I was talking about on last week, I ended up talking about Jehoshaphat, and over the course, that's over in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. I'm not going to be on here that long today because I got to go over to the hospital again this week. So anyway, please be praying for me for that, because sometimes when you go, I try not to send people by themselves, but I'm going by myself today. So anyway, but the Lord is with me, so I'm not really worried about it. But, you know, sometimes we get difficult people, so it is what it is. But anyway, because when I say hospital, I mean like we do transformation hospitals, people where people have got addictive behavior and things like that, so all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we go there. But anyway, when I was talking about Jehoshaphat, and I was talking about, you know, some of the things when Jehoshaphat was encountered with that battle in 2 Chronicles, and he had the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Mount Seir, and all of them was all camped around the battle. And I told you that these were the same people that God told Israel not to bother in the wilderness, and here they are coming up against them. And so some of the things I wanted to make these points, because then I'm going to talk about David, and then I'm going to talk about the names of God today, and then I'll get back to David again, because I really want to study David a little more, so I don't want to touch it too much, because I don't feel like I've done an in-depth study about it, so I'm going to work on that this week. I've studied some, but I just didn't feel like I was ready for that. And so, but anyway, but let me talk about these things, and then we're going to go on to the names of God, because the names of God is our covenant. That is our covenant with God. God is a covenant God. And so we're going to talk about that, how we can use the names of God. Because the names of God in the Bible really defines God's character, or gives us a glimpse of God's character. Let's say that, because God can't be defined. So, you know, but it gives us, because he's infinite, you know what I'm saying? And we're finite, but he's infinite. And so he really can't be totally defined, but it gives us a glimpse into some of his characteristics. And so that's why he said we can use his name as our covenant, and we can use the name of Jesus as our authority. He gives us the authority to use his name. It's our authority. And so we want to talk about that when it comes to prayer and things like that. And then we're going to talk about some of the prayers of David. And I want to end up toward the end of the month. I'm still waiting on some people are studying for some of the other topics. And so I've just been talking about this stuff. But anyway, we're going to talk about Jesus and his prayers, and we're going to end up there. That's where we're going to end up, on prayer. We're going to end up talking about Jesus' prayers, and that is where we will, hopefully that'll be where we'll end up in prayer, talking about that. But I began to talk about, as we were talking about prayer, and I've been talking about prayer since November. We've been talking about prayer for a long time. But then we began to get into prayer's partners, some partners that I call them prayer's battle partners, and so that's what I'm calling them. But they're really the weapons of our warfare, and the things we use to combat the distractions that try to come our way. And so that's what we're talking about today. And so anyway, but when I was thinking about Jehoshaphat, just recapping that, one of the things Jehoshaphat did when he petitioned God, he said he committed the situation to God. First, he acknowledged that only God could save the nation. And sometimes when we're going through, we got to do the same. We got to commit these situations to God. God tells us over in James 5:7, he said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so if we begin to do that and leave them there, don't pick them back up, then we have committed that situation to God, understanding that God is the only one that can save us. God is the only one that can bring us out of that situation, of the circumstances that we're going through, the battles that we are having to fight. Because we're not fighting physical battles, but we're fighting the battles against sin and against the attacks of the enemy, and those are the kind of things that we are fighting. Sometimes we're even fighting with ourselves not to respond to certain things certain ways. And so these are some of the battles that we face every day. I told somebody if their house was in foreclosure or something like that, and they were trying to do a modification, and maybe they have to keep doing modifications. Well, that's the battle you're fighting. That's a battle. Those are one of the things you fight. So you keep doing the modification, and eventually God is going to turn the thing around. And so sometimes we don't think about it like that, but those are some of the things we have to think. It's just like somebody that's on a diet. When you really want to be on a diet, you're constantly fighting the temptations of food. You know, we see it on commercials, we see it on billboards. You know, somebody brings stuff in. You know, you're trying not to eat sweets. Here come the donuts. Here come the candy. Here come the cookies. All of that comes to work. All of those things try to have. So it's all easy, and that's a battle. When you think about it, you're battling something even with that because you're trying to stay away from it. But here's it's presented. So I never forget. We went on a fast one time, and I was at overcoming over at Pastor Forrest Church, and he put us all on a fast, and so we was on a 21-day fast. And one of the first things we had to give up was sweets. And I told him how that at work, you know, it was, and I think it was a Friday. It was that Friday, and on Friday they would always bring donuts in, and then it just happened to be a triple threat Friday, I'll say, because first of all, it was in October, so it was kind of the Halloween month, so candy was all around. Then they brought donuts in on Friday. Then somebody was leaving, so they brought ice cream in. Whoever was leaving always brought everybody ice cream, so they had ice cream in there. And then it was somebody's birthday, so they had birthday cake, all while you're trying to be on this fast and you cannot eat any of the sweets. And so all of that was going on. So the temptations that the distractions that the enemy tries to bring in your face, right in your face, to try to distract you from the goal that you're trying to meet. So you have all those things to be dealing with in life. So you have all those things you have to deal with. So I'm just bringing that up as just an example. But anyway, so we're talking about how he processed that whole situation. He committed the situation to God, and then he sought God's favor because his people were God's people. And this is what he told me. Then he acknowledged God's sovereignty over the current situation. And so that's what we got to know. We got to honor God and begin to acknowledge God in everything. Proverbs 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we have to acknowledge God that he is sovereign over every situation in our life. And then he praised God's glory and took comfort in his promises. He professed complete dependence upon God, not himself, for deliverance. He professed complete deliverance on God and not on himself. And so those are some of the things that we got to begin to put in action in our own lives, is that we're going to, first of all, when things begin to start up, things begin to happen, we commit the situation to God immediately. And then after that, of course, he fasted and prayed, and they prayed for the nation, and they repented of their sins, and they did all of those types of things. But all the time when you're going through it, ain't because it's no sin in the camp. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying. All the time, that ain't the story. Sometimes the enemy's trying to attack you because he's trying to attack your faith. He's trying to attack the anointing that God has on your life, and he's trying to attack the word of God that's in you. If he can snatch all that out of you, he'd be glad. That's his job. He's doing his job. And so, but it's up to us to make sure that doesn't happen. We don't have to succumb to the attacks of the enemy. We can begin to praise God. So that's what was one of the things Bishop said this morning. He said, you know, he hopes that the response of that message will be that we will respond different to the attacks that the distractions that come. That instead of us getting all, you know, disemboweled and we're getting all hyper about what's happened, that we will begin to remain more calm and begin to just give God the glory. So that's one thing that David did. David began to give God the glory. He began to tell how God, how wonderful he is. Just like in Psalms 34, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul shall make a boast of the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He was quick to magnify God. And they tell me all the time I need to ask people to tag and share. If you are being blessed, and tag and share. That's what they tell me to do. So I say, I always forget about that because I don't be thinking about it. But anyway, I just come on talking. But anyway, so those are some of the things that we have to do in our prayer and in our lives, and when things are coming up, that we begin to make sure that worship and praise is in the forefront of us, that we put it out. Because even in the battle, with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. They sent forth the praises. They began to worship and praise God. And as they began to worship and praise God, the enemy began to fight amongst themselves. And by the time they got over there, they had already took care of themselves. They did not have to fight. God was fighting for them. And so he caused them to fight amongst each other. And then when they got there, they just had to get the spoil of the land, and they were collecting and collecting and collecting. And so we got to know we may not have to fight the enemy army, but every day we battle temptations and pressures and the rulers of darkness of this world. And so what he wants us to do, the enemy wants us to rebel against God. And so we got to make sure that we don't do that, that we say, no, God has promised me some things, and I'm going to hold on to what God has promised me. I'm going to hold on to what God is saying to me. I'm not going to go back just because of this trouble. Yeah, the heat might be getting hotter, but we got to understand when we come forth, we're going to come forth as pure gold. We got to keep that, and he's going to bring us forth as pure gold. And then the next thing we do when we are letting God fight for us, when we let God fight for us by realizing that the battle is not ours, but it's God, we recognize our human limitations by allowing God's strength to work through our fears and weaknesses and by making sure we have given it over to God. And so I talked about Jehoshaphat just for that, because I wanted to kind of compare and contrast that with David. Because the one thing David did, David was a worshiper. David knew how to go to God in prayer, and so there are many prayers in the Bible, Psalms 51, Psalms 86, Psalms 64, I believe it is, you know, all of these, and then it's so many that David began to pray. He began to pray, and he began to ask God to bless him, and so even, you know, if you think about, he wrote so many psalms in the Bible. Most of those are worship. They're worship songs or their prayers, and those are things that David used when he had to come against the enemy, because if you think about David and his battle, he had all kind of battles. Not only did he have to fight enemy armies, he had to fight his own children were coming against him. His wife came against him when he came home with the Ark of the Covenant, and he was beginning to dance, and she talked about him, you know, like he, in other words, you know, you're embarrassing me. But he was praising God, and so she didn't like it, and so she despised him. Because of that, God closed up her womb, and she didn't have any children. And so we got to think about, he had so many battles. He had battles with his cousins. And, you know, because all of them was from King Joab and all of them, and, you know, and his cousins that fought with him in the battle, they were the ones going to the battles. But there was something going on all the time. He was always in a battle. He was in a battle, you know, it was always something. He had internal battle. He was in a battle with his family. His family, remember when he went down to give them, to bring them something to eat, and they began to ask him, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And even with his own father, you know, when Samuel got ready to come and anoint one of Jesse's sons for the next king, David, they act like David wasn't out there. And so they put all the other ones up in front of him. And because they were the tall ones, they were they were this and they were that. And so he was sending them out, and Samuel kept saying, no, that's not him. No, that's not him. No, that's not him. Because when that first one came out, Samuel was like, okay, this is it. And God said, no, that's not it. But he fashioned it. He thought of it. Well, he was the one, because he had a mirror image of Saul, kind of, because he was tall like Saul. You know, he kind of looked like Saul. And so all of that, but that wasn't the one. And so we can't go based on what it looks like. He had to go with what was in the heart. And so when he asked me, he said, don't you have anybody else? And he said, yeah, I got my youngest son, David. He's out there with them sheep. And when David came in, he was the one. God said, he is the one. And that's the one that oil poured on, that eighth son. And so we got to remember, we got to think about that. So David had a lot of battles. He had battles in his inner circle, which was his family. Then he had battles with his external, you know, with all of the people that were. Saul was after David. And so Saul got jealous of David, and he was trying to kill him. But David always behaved himself wisely. He always done, you know, he could have killed Saul at any time. One time he got close enough to cut some of his skirt off, but he still did not touch God's anointing. And so he was battling. He had all this stuff going on, all because God had chose him to be king. God had chose him to be king. And so he was chosen to be king, and because of that, he began. And you got there, David, when he got anointed, when he got anointed to be king, David was probably around 10, 13, 11, or somewhere around there. He wasn't that. He was but a youth. That's what it said. He was young. And so then as he kind of went on, he began to play in Saul and play for Saul, play the harp for Saul. So David was a worshiper, and that's how David got through life. He got through life worshiping God. He won many battles in prayer and praise and fasting and worshiping God. That's how he got through it. And so he began to do that. He done a whole bunch of other stuff because he was doing stuff. He had a lot of, things because the Bible said that when David was about to die, they said they threw a virgin in the bed with him, and he didn't touch her. They knew he was on his way out then because he loved the women. And so, he had all of those things going on, and he had many wives and many sons. But just even how his own children, because he didn't discipline, his own children turned against him. So he had those kind of internal battles with his own children, Absalom and Amnon. Amnon slept with his daughter, and that was his son, but he slept with his daughter. So they might have had different mothers, but still, those are some of the internal battles that he faced on a daily basis. And so these are some of the things that we might face, and these are some of the things that are going on even in the world today, all the molestation and all the incest and all these different things that have went on. So all of these internal wars are going on with people being abused and all of this stuff, and spousal abuse. And when I say spousal abuse, I'm not saying it's just the men abusing the women, but sometimes the women are abusing the men, so it's going both ways anymore. And all of these different things, all these battles that come up on an every daily basis, financial battles, people battles, all of this stuff. So here was David. That's why he's such a good example, because he had so many stuff, so much stuff going on. And then he was fighting the Philistines. He's fighting Amalek and all of them different people just coming up against him. And so he was always having some kind of battle going on. But he continued to worship. He continued to praise God. He continued to pray and to worship. And so he always, the one thing that David did whenever he was getting ready to fight in any battle, one thing he did, he said he asked God, he sought God first, should I fight or should I not fight? And if God said to go and he was going to deliver him in his hands, then he went. But if he told him not to go, he didn't go. He was obedient to what God told him to do. He followed God's instructions. And sometimes the reason why we have our bias, some things seem to be extended for us, is because we're not following God's instructions. We're not first taking it to God and asking God, how should we pursue this? How should we pursue that? Lord, should I buy the house? Lord, should I go? Should I change jobs? Lord, is this the right place for me to go? Lord, should I pursue this? Is this the right mate for me? All of these things. Is she the one, God? Or is he the one? All of these things. Are we taking these things to God? Because then when we don't take them to God and we jump in them, then here comes all these other things that come up. And then God, but the one thing about God, he is merciful and he is kind and he loves us. And so even though we might make the wrong decision, he is still in that battle with us as well. So that's the good thing about God. He's still in there with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So we don't really, we worry about way more than we should worry about things. I got tickled this week. My eye, I had a blood vessel burst in my eye. And so I was like, Lord, what is wrong with it? And what is going on? What happened there? So I called the nurse. I lied. They told me, she said, well, if it don't get any better, then you might need to go to the doctor. She said, but more likely that's what it is. She said, and then she said, what are you stressed out about? What are you stressing yourself out about? Because this sounds like stress or your blood pressure is up or something like that. And so I thought, well, Lord, I got to take these things to the Lord in prayer and begin. Because if you can't do nothing about it, what's the use of stressing about it? You got to give it to the Lord in prayer. And I got tickled. I was fortunate enough that someone bought me a ticket to go to the Lord blessed me. I call them my niece and nephew. They're not my blood niece and nephew, but their parents, the Dotsons, are like my brothers and sisters. So these are their children. And so their children, their son and daughter-in-law. And so they were a blessing to me. And so we got to go to the plane. I got tickled. I sat down. The woman said, honey, what's wrong with your eye? I said, it's not contagious. She said, okay, because I was wanting to know. And so I got tickled about that. But anyway, the Lord, but she was right, because she was ready to tell me, you got to get up from this seat, because we're not going to have all that drama today. I got tickled. But I understood. I said, no, I understand. And so, but anyway, I was just saying all that to say how we can stress ourselves out and not really realizing that we're being stressed out. And so, and I don't know if that's what really caused that to happen, but probably so. But anyway, so I told myself, you're going to have to calm down about stuff you can't do nothing about it. Stop thinking about it. Begin to worship and praise God. So I just started praising God. And I was on, I think it was Pastor Sarah by voice, I was on a prayer call this week, and she told us that we were going to be quiet. And I thought I got tipped because Tiffany Providence Harrison told us to be quiet about a couple of weeks ago, 10 days. We had to be quiet. She said, just shut your mouth and don't say nothing. Let God do the work. Let God fight the battle. And she said the same thing. So I was on another silent fast. And so I think I'm going to stay silent on Teresa. Let me shut up and just let the God do it and let me stop thinking about stuff. Sometimes things happen real quick and then you respond. So that's why I was so happy about Bishop's message today, because I mean, I'm going to respond with praise. I'm going to respond with prayer. I'm going to respond with worship, because we have got to stop responding to things when they happen. So we got to make sure that we think about that as we go through our week today. And so then the next thing David was good to do, he always asked God, Lord, should I fight? And so then he said he followed instructions carefully, and then he gave God the glory. We have got to make sure we give God the glory. What we do, something do we do stuff without considering God's will? That's what we got to do. We have to consider God's will in the matter. And so when we begin to pray, ask God, because David was praying about this stuff. He asked God, should I do it? We gotta ask God. So in our prayer time, let's begin to ask God, Lord, should I do this? Shall this be something I do? Should I pursue this? Should I pursue that? We will begin to make our life so much easier, so much happier, if we begin to first consult God. And so if we do that, those are some of the things we do. Now I want to talk about, I'm going to stand my back because I got to go in a few minutes. But anyway, I want to talk about, I was just talking about that for in battles, and I'm going to get more in today because it was a lot of things. It's a lot in there. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I should do that with prayer, or maybe that should be a whole separate study. So anyway, I'm going to think about that over this week and see how the Lord tells me, which way he tells me to go about that. But anyway, when I think about the names of God, when I think about God's name and how we have access to use his name, because we have so much power that I don't know if we even really know how much power we really have. We have the authority to use Jesus' name in our prayer time. And I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about that and authority, how we have the authority to use his name. And so if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. And so we got to remember that. That's what the word says. And so we got to remember that the name, Proverbs 18 and 10, I haven't read a scripture, but let me read this. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous running into it and is saved. And then John 14 and 13 says, and whosoever shall ask, who and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that was scripture I wanted to get, I was talking about just a minute ago, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we have all these scriptures telling us about the names of God and all the things, I got the light traffic to where I got to go, and all the things that God will do in his name. And so then Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're talking about the name of God, the names of Jesus, the name of Jesus. It's a name that answers our need. And so we got to think about that. And so let's talk about some of these names when we talk about Jehovah. When Abraham was up on the mountain with Isaac, and he was getting ready to sacrifice him, and then God said, hold your hand, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. That's when Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. And so with the names of God is our covenant. And so the word of God admonishes all his people to call upon his name, to do this more effectively It helps us to understand his attributes. And so when we call on the name of God, we can see his attributes, the attributes of who he is. And so if we think about Moses, when he was at the battle of Rephidim, and he called him Jehovah Nissi, the Lord his banner. And so he means that the Lord was covering him. The Lord was the one covering him. And so the many names of God, we say El. El means mighty, strong, prominent, God great, dreadful, almighty God. That's what El means. And so when we call him back, that's what we're calling him. And then El Shaddai, the God who is all-sufficient and all-bountiful, and the one who fills and makes fruitful use in connection with judging and chastening and purging and translated almighty. So the Lord, the names of God that we can use, we can call him Jehovah Jireh when we're praying. Lord, you're my Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. You're my Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. You're my Jehovah Mekadesh, Jehovah who sanctifies him, Jehovah Rapha, the Jehovah who heals. And then all of these names, when we're praying, we can begin to utilize the names of God in our prayers. You know, we can be El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And, you know, Jehovah Sikkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And then we can say Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And then we can say Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. So he's got so many of these names, and I'm trying to wrap up because I know I got to go. But anyway, so I'm going to come back to this on next week when we're talking about the names of God. The names of God is our covenant, and it displays who God is and his character. And so then we got to think, if we do that, we think about, and then we think about the name that is above every name. And of course, that is the name of Jesus, and how when we call on his name, that is a name that answers all our need. It's a name that we can rely on. If you don't know, I tell them at the hospital, if you don't know nothing else to say, just call Jesus. You might not know a scripture to quote at the time. You might not know that, but if you call on the name of Jesus, he is the one. He is that's the name above all names. It said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And if I think about how, you know, if I think about the names of Jesus and how when I call on the name of Jesus, he becomes what I need. And so when I call him that name out in prayer, he becomes what I need. When I call his name, he is my wall of fire round about me, so he's my protection. He is my sure foundation, so he's my stability. This is what, if I need stability at the time, then he's my sure foundation. If I need a refiner or a purifier for my growth, then Jesus, that name, he becomes that. He's my nail fastened in a sure place, so he becomes my security. He becomes that great light around about me. He's my guidance. So whenever I call on the name of the Lord, he becomes what I need. And so he's the Lord of our peace. He's our comfort. He's the head of the body. He's our supervision. He is our propitiation of our sins. He's our forgiveness. When we call on his name, he becomes what we need. So we have to remember what we have when we call on the name of Jesus. When we're down praying, we call on his name. He becomes what we need. We got to remember that he is the one fighting the battles in our life. And I know all this seems a little choppy today, but anyway, the Lord told me to get on here, so I did, because I wasn't going to come on today because I felt like I wasn't really ready to do what I wanted to say about David. But anyway, the Lord said, well, no, I'm just say this and talk about these names, and that's what I want you to do today because I knew I didn't have a long time to be on here. But anyway, thank you so much for listening today. I hope I said something for you that will be a blessing to you. Remember, if you call on the name of Jesus, when you're in your prayer time, call on the name of Jesus, and he becomes what you need. He is all of these things to you. He's the head of the corn. He's our completion. He's the lift up of our head. He is our confidence. He is our rock and our refuge. So when we call on him, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. So remember when you're praying to call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Sometimes you might not even know what to pray. Just holler, Jesus. I mean, it done got me out of a whole lot of situations. I remember when I was in Indianapolis, and I was there, and it had snowed one day, and I was on my way home from church, and my car took up a spin on that snow and on that ice, and I just called on the name of Jesus, and that car straightened up. Because I'm telling you, you know, when you're in them icy situations, sometimes you don't know how that's going to go. But I tell you, I know a name that will cause a car to stop. I know a name, hallelujah, to call on. And my prayer time is Jesus. Hallelujah. And so you can do that, and he will begin to be what you have need of in that very hour. If you need him to be a car stopper, he'll do that. If he needs you, if you need him to be protection, he'll be that. He'll be everything you need. Just call on him. Just call on the name of the Lord and let him be what it is you have need of. So we have all this access to things that can help us in our prayer time, in our daily lives, in the distractions and the attacks that come our way. We have a God that has made a way for everything we have need of. We do not have to keep worrying about things, stop stressing out about things. Call on the name of the Lord. He will bless you with the finances you need. He will bless you in healing. We call on the name of the Lord. He is our healer. What did it say? It said in Isaiah, let me go back up here to it, Isaiah 6:9, it said, for when he said, this is when he was talking about Jesus, he was prophesying Jesus coming into the world, the Messiah. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He became all of those things, so he's all of that. He's our Counselor. He's our Mighty God. He's our Everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. So we got that to rely on when we think about the names of God and using that in our prayer and in our life. So that's, those are some of the things. And then the Bible gives us this consolation for those that are saved and need to be saved. It says, Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. So those are the things that we have in our arsenal to be able to in our prayer and becoming prayer warriors and becoming intercessors and all of those things. These are some of the arsenals that we have. We got truth. We got trust. I talked about a bunch of this stuff. I said you can just stand, and that is a weapon that you can use, because standing means that you're telling the enemy, God has got me, and I'm going to stand right here. You're not going to cause me to run. You're not going to do it. So I thank God for all of that, and I hope I said something today was a blessing to somebody. And I want to just make sure that I always do this, and we'll come back next week when I finish this up, and so we can get into it a little more. And then, let's see, I just want to, for those of you, somebody that does not know, maybe you went to church and you decided you didn't go down there to give your life to the Lord. Here's another opportunity for you to say, that, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to give my life unto thee. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus died for our sins. And so you can be saved today on this line as well. Or somebody might watch it later. You can be saved, because if your heart is right and you're sincere, you can be saved. So let's pray this prayer. If you pray this prayer with me, dear God in heaven, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am a sinner and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior and ask him to come into my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you have raised him from the dead. I ask you to please help me to live as you want me to live. I thank you for the gift of your wonderful son, Jesus, and your merciful free gift of salvation. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer today that you are saved. Thank God. Find you a good Bible-believing teaching church. Join in with them and continue your journey. You might be on milk now, but if you continue in the journey, you will be on meat. And I'm telling you, pray that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost, so that you can have that power and be endued with power from on high. So continue to grow in the name of the Lord and bless and find you some place to go so you can be taught the word of God and you can understand more about God. And I thank God for each and every one of you that joined me today. I'm going to cut a little early today because I got to get over to the hospital. I got to be over there by 6 o'clock my time, and so it's a it don't take that long, but I'll be over there. But anyway, be praying for me as I go over there and minister the gospel over there, and continue to pray for each and every one of your family members and all of them. Continue to pray sincerely for them. Sometimes you're the only one standing in the gap for your family. So continue to do that and be strengthened and be blessed. And we'll close with a short prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless each and every one under the sound of my voice. I ask you to bless and keep them this week. Lord, we ask you to keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. We ask you to let your angels encamp around about them, Lord. If there's healing needed, let your healing virtue flow. If there's finances needed, we pray that, Lord, you'll bless them with supernatural debt reduction, supernatural debt cancellation in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, to bless them with favor as only you can, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's going for a job interview this week, bless them with favor. Somebody is going for test results this week, bless them with favor. God, we ask you, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord, that the report will come back different than what that doctor that intended thought that it would. God, we ask you for healing virtue in the bodies of your people. We ask you for protection in the around about your people. And, Lord, as they are going through and being crushed, Lord, let them understand that it is for the anointing that is on their life. It is for the work of the ministry. It is for the work that they will be there called to do in the kingdom. And, Lord, so let them praise God. Let their response be different this week. Let them begin to praise God and to worship God. And God, begin to thank you. And let God fight their battles instead of them trying to fight the battles on their own. Lord, don't let them worry this week, but let them cast their cares upon you, for you care for them. So, God, we thank you today. We ask you, Lord, to bless us, Lord Jesus, to understand. Let the enemy know that you are sovereign. Lord, let us stop telling our problems, God, about our problems, and stop telling our problems about God. Hallelujah. How he is a promise keeper. How he is the God that wins the battle. How he is the God that answers prayer. If I ask anything in his name, he will bless me. So, Lord, let us begin to do that this week. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over every pastor, every apostle, every preacher, every teacher, every bishop, every elder, every minister, every missionary, every child of God. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life this week. Bless those that have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can. Strengthen them, God, in the name of Jesus, and bless them, Lord Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify, and we magnify your holy name. And so I ask you, thank all of you for joining me this week on Prospering Souls broadcast. Thank all. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you that continue to listen. I'm asking each and every one of you to share the broadcast. If you know somebody that needs to hear it, share it. And tag and share. So we thank God for each and every one of you that will be that have been a blessing to this ministry and that will continue to listen and be. I hope that it's a blessing to you. And so God bless you all and keep you is my prayer. And we'll be back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you.